Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
I don't need this court, he said. I'm guilty, and I want to plead guilty. Those are the words from Patrick Drum. And he was talking to a Clallam County Superior Court judge. This is the guy that is charged with aggravated murder in the shooting deaths of a couple of convicted sex offenders. And the judge said, don't think so. Thanks for joining me here, hooking up and hanging on Newsline PM on this Thursday afternoon. I appreciate your being here. Thank you very much. The judge in the case told Drum that under state law, he could not accept that plea. And that's when he kind of got the argument from Drum, says, hey, I don't need the court. I'm guilty. I want to plead guilty. The problem is there is a question of whether or not the county prosecutor in the case is going to seek the death penalty. To help us kind of weave our way through this legal question, we have a great legal mind. Ann C.D. Bremner joins me here on Newsline PM. How are you, Annie?
I'm fine. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing fine, thank you. So is the judge, I didn't know there was a state law that disallowed a guilty plea if there is a death sentence possibility that's pending.
Well, out of every bad result in court, Ken, there always becomes some kind of a law. They always say there ought to be a law. And I vaguely remember, I think everyone remembers the case, I practiced way too long, but I remember where somebody tried to plead guilty, and then avoided the death penalty. I mean, that's the whole idea. Can he come in and plead guilty and avoid the death penalty? And the answer is no. And because they have 30 days from the date of arraignment, the prosecutors, to file the notice of intent to seek the death penalty. And so had he pled guilty or been allowed to do that in court, then he could then argue, well, you can't, it's double jeopardy, essentially. You can't seek the death penalty out because I pled guilty to aggravated murder.
So I'm curious then, let's for the sake of argument assume that Patrick Drum is going to wind up in a jury trial. How do you find a jury that's not aware of the fact that he's tried to plead guilty?
I know.
I mean, and can the prosecuting attorney use that attempted guilty plea in court, as the trial proceeds?
Well, it's an admission, and it's made in open court. I remember when I was a prosecutor, when people would come in the first appearance calendar and say things like, I did it, I'd be writing those notes down, back in the day before we had all the recording in there, and the electronic, then the surveillance and the videos. But the fact is, I mean, he said it. Now, on the other hand, when you're looking at pretrial negotiations or statements by a defendant, they can argue, this is something that would be protected and it can't be used against him. The fact is, he said, though, I don't need this court. I did it. So it's not the question is, I want to plead guilty that they necessarily have to use. The fact is, he said, I don't need this court. I'm guilty. I'm just going to tell you I'm guilty. It doesn't matter if a courtroom says accepts that or not.
I just find this kind of, in a twisted way, a fascinating dilemma that's mm-hmm. going to somehow have to be addressed down the line. And on top of everything else, this guy has already indicated that he would want to represent himself, even though the judge here has already appointed an attorney to represent him.
Right. And this is, this is somebody that reminds me of that great Clarence Darrow quote.
Hey, CD.
Yeah, CD. That there's no justice inside or outside of court. I mean, what he's basically saying is, I don't care what any of you say. I did it. And he's saying they deserved it because they're sex offenders, right?
Right.
It's kind of vigilante justice. It kind of carries out kind of the whole pattern he's had so far. But, the fact of the matter is a jury in Clallam County, they're going to know about this guy and what he said. And the question is, can they put that aside when they are asked to serve and decide the case on the merits? But maybe he'll blurt it out again.
See, and again, in that instance where you go through the voir dire, you're mm-hmm. going to have to determine whether or not people are being candid when mm-hmm. they say they can put that aside. I mean, trust me, right. I'd sit there and I'd say, oh, yes, Your Honor.
I know.
Sure.
Yeah, put me on the jury.
Yeah, I can forget all about that.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, that's a GUI, LTY, guilty, 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 kind of the automatic in a case like this if he keeps on the course he's on. And, it seems to me when death is then facing him, he might feel differently. And maybe that was just some bravado today, in kind of keeping with what he's done so far, which I think he thinks people should look at him and say, those were sex offenders. What you did is okay, which is completely wrong. But that seems to be his view.
How complicated, or does it make the prosecutor's case more complicated with this, I don't care what you say, I'm guilty and I'm going to plead guilty? What does that do for the prosecutor? I mean, on one hand, it sews it up. But on the other hand, it seems it makes it more difficult, particularly if they're going to proceed with the death penalty case.
Well, exactly. And, you know, brilliantly stated as always, Ken. I mean, look at this. I mean, here's a guy who's like kind of the worst nightmare for the prosecutor, because you want a clean, fair trial and you don't want to have any grounds for appeal. When you've got someone like this who's misbehaving, so to speak, and being his own worst enemy, the courts on appeal are still going to say you have to protect his rights. You have to protect the process. And that includes not letting these kinds of things occur. I mean, we've seen cases where defendants are shackled or in some ways, you know, silenced when they misbehave in court. You know, Monford, of course, has misbehaved in court here in Seattle. But, you know, this is somebody that maybe he's, you know, crazy like a fox, so to speak, or that he's basically polluting the record and will continue to do so. Death penalty cases are, you know, those appeals are strict.
Have you seen a picture of this guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not a Mensa member.
I know.
I mean, in terms of cleverness, I don't think I would attribute that as one of his talents. I think he's, you know, and I think he's just kind of fumbling through this. He's already got some convictions on his record, so I think he knows as well. He probably knows his way well enough around a courtroom.
Well, yeah, but the fact is, don't you think it seems, at least to me, that he feels justified?
Oh, yeah. I think that's probably, you know, that's going to be his defense if he serves as his own attorney, and whether he can convince someone who's maybe appointed to assist or represent him, I'm sure that that'll be added. But I'm just thinking the futility of proceeding further seems clear and evident to me. I just think that, and whether you're correct or not, I think he's thrown a serious wrinkle into the prosecutor's case in so far as a death penalty consideration.
I agree. I mean, there's no going back, Ken. I mean, what he's done, it's all over the news, it's all the papers, and there's the odds of getting an untainted jury are very low, and then you can try with a change of venue, but it has to, of course, be within the confines of Washington State, and we're all talking about it in Seattle. It's in the Seattle Times. It's on, you know, with you, where everybody listens, of course, and so, you know, how can you pick a jury when the person says, you know what, I am guilty.
If you were his defense attorney, what would your tact be, do you think?
You know, I have never done a death penalty case, and I never will, just because I'm not qualified. And those are very difficult cases and very...
Well, it's not because you're not qualified, I think. No. I'm not letting you get away with that.
Okay, well, thank you. But I think that what I would do is I would run with what he's done, you know, and argue that these are the types of things, like you said, that will ultimately taint a jury, and he can't have a fair trial. And I'd also meet with the prosecutor and say, you've got to take the death penalty off the table, because you know, even if you get it, it's going to get reversed.
All right. And C.D. Bremner, great legal mind right here in our midst. I appreciate talking with you, Annie.
You're wonderful, Ken. Thanks as always.
All right, take care.
You too.
You know, you're the jury out there. You could, I mean, someone like you or you could be on that jury. What would you commit yourself to? Do you think that his guilty plea should get him out of the death penalty? 206-421-1000. Be right back.
Seattle's waking up to the Como Morning News 5 to 9. Right now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So we've got Patrick Drum, who is charged with aggravated murder. He is accused of shooting to death two convicted sex offenders. And according to accounts and authorities, was intent on killing more. So he was on a hunt for his brand of vigilante justice. So in court, he wanted to plead guilty. This happened yesterday. And the judge had said to him, no, the prosecuting attorney in this case here in Clallam County is considering whether or not the death penalty should be gone after. And the prosecutor has 30 days from yesterday to make that decision. So the judge says, you can't plead guilty. And Drum said, yeah, I can. I don't need the court. I'm guilty and I want to plead guilty. So what we get is, you know, some insight and some perspective on this from Ann Bremner, who says, well, the deal is that there have been instances in the past where people have done this in order to avoid having to face the possibility of the death penalty. So my question to you, yeah, the judge didn't let him formally plead guilty, but, excuse me, he pled guilty. I don't know of anyone who could sit on a jury and say, well, yeah, I'm aware of the fact that he did say he did it, but I can get beyond that and make a decision based solely on the courtroom presentation of the Clallam County prosecutor. Could you sit on that jury and honestly say that? 206-421-1000, 877-397, COMA. We'll kick off here with Chris down there at JBLM. You're up on Newsline PM, Chris.
Hi, sir. I think that he should be allowed to plead guilty and still be slapped with the death penalty, because it's not like he said, oops, oh my God, I killed two guys, and then all of a sudden and now he's locked up for it. He knew what he was doing. So I say, you know, slap him with the maximum consequence.
But I think the problem is that written into the framework of the law is the prohibition of accepting a guilty plea with a death penalty. In other words, even let's say the Clallam County prosecuting attorney says, okay, we're going to seek the death penalty. I still don't think the court is allowed legally to accept a guilty plea.
Yes, and I understand that, Ken, but I mean, it's just like this. If you vandalize a building and you knew what you were doing, even though I understand that this is a more serious crime, you can't plead guilty and then not be slapped with a consequence consequence equal to the crime. So it's either, you know, he stand jail for the remainder of his life plus some, or
well, there's no plus sum for the remainder of your life. There's no plus sum there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Once you're dead, I don't think once you're dead they're going to prop him up in the bunk and just leave him there. But I appreciate your call, Chris. I really do, and it's an interesting point of view. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think Chris or I don't think either one of us would be seated on that jury. First of all, I'm an opponent to the death penalty, so I'd never be seated anyway. But it seems if this guy, I don't think there's any mental issues here. I mean, I'm sure there are some. I'm sure he's sick. You know what I mean? But I don't think he would be judged under the law as mentally incompetent to stand trial. And the fact is, he wants to serve as his own attorney. He's already let the genie out of the bottle here. Regardless of what the judge says in terms of not being able to accept his plea, I think in terms of public opinion, he's already pleaded guilty to these crimes. He's not going to offer much of a defense, even if he is allowed to, you know, act as his own defense attorney. A judge has appointed an attorney in this case. I don't know if it's trickery. I don't know if it's a charade, you know, that is he's smart enough. Is that the case in his mind to say, look, I don't mind going to prison until I die, but I don't want to die real quickly here. So I'm just going to simply avoid the possibility of having to face the death penalty in an open court. I'm going to plead guilty. What are they going to? So when the proceedings actually begin, I mean, what are they going to? He could outburst. What are they going to do? Declare a mistrial and send the jury out and try to pick, 12 new jurors and four alternatives? I really think that this. I think Ann Bremner's right. I think this is complicated somewhat, the prosecuting attorney's case here. Hey, in a moment, there's a big rally today. I think it's due to take place at 4 o'clock this afternoon, down at Occidental Park. I'll tell you what it's all about in a moment.
Reporting the news, understanding the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
You know, I touched on this very, very briefly the other day. It involves a woman. This occurred on June 7th. June 7th, just to let you know, that is the day that our new DUI penalties went into play. So we've got this woman down in Federal Way who's accused of just, she has her son in the car with her, by the way, rips out of this parking lot and winds up crossing a center lane and hits another car. The driver of that other car is killed. The youngster in the car with her was okay. This is a woman by the name of Michelle Dittimore. And she's okay. Her son's okay. But she killed a guy. And authorities are saying that she was impaired. She had taken a whole host of prescription medicines before she got into her car and killed this 48-year-old. So now she's still in jail. Bail's been set for $250,000. If she had done this on June 6th, under the old sentencing guidelines, she would have been sent to prison if convicted for 2.5 to 3 years. Under the new sentencing guidelines, and then there's something else because she has a kid in the car, it's an enhancement factor. Her sentence range now is 7.5 to 9.5 years. Amen. Amen. In a moment, a big, big rally today in Seattle. Save our Sonics. We have former Sonics, and we're going to be talking with a member of the Presidents of the USA. The band is going to be playing down there. We'll find out what's at hook here.
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
So welcome to the game. Ladies and gentlemen, shout the name. Seattle Supersonics, our basketball bionic. And Gary Payton was on.
Oh, yeah. That's the Presidents of the United States coming up here in a moment, because they're going to be down at the Save Our Sonics rally, which, by the way, they're in the finals this year. What used to be the Sonics are in the finals this year. So there's this big rally down at Occidental Park today going to be taking place, trying to drum up support for the new arena. We've got, Mr. Microsoft, Steve Ballmer, involved now. We have the Nordstrom family involved now. We've got Chris Hansen, who's pushing this thing forward. We've got the city council committee reviewing this. We've got the county council reviewing this. We've already got the King County executive and Seattle mayor on board. Jason Finn is the drummer for PUSA. Joins me here on Newsline PM. How are you, Jason?
Good, Ken. Thanks for having me.
So somebody, a little bird whispered in my ear, said, you're kind of a big basketball fan.
Well, I would characterize myself as more of just a sort of medium to big sports fan. Certainly, I've been through all the phases of grief with the Sonics, you know. And if this whole thing had happened 2 years ago, I don't think I was ready yet.
Ready to try to get them back, or
you... I swore off the NBA completely for a couple of years. It was very traumatic. But I've recovered sufficiently to literally, as you say, drum up support today.
Now, I got to tell you, in terms of full disclosure, here's my only problem with basketball. And I'm being totally candid with you.
Sure.
I can't stand the squeaky sounds from the sneakers on the wood floor.
God, it makes me nuts, too.
It does. Actually. It's like dragging somebody's fingernails across an old-fashioned chalkboard.
And how about when they decided, and this wasn't that long ago, when they decided to mic up the back of the rim?
Yeah.
So when they really clang one, even a free throw, it's just a dong.
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of razzle dazzle in the NBA, and I guess there's not much we can do about the squeaky shoes.
I've always thought maybe we could oil the floor a little bit, and that would make it a whole different game.
I'm telling you, there would be all kinds of new excitement in that case, for sure.
So you're over your grief period. You're willing to throw yourself into the fray here in an attempt to, as you put it so aptly, drum up support for the Sonics. I don't think you're going to have that much of a difficult time.
Well, that's tough to say. I mean, as you know, the various agencies are starting to vet it. You can see that the Seattle Times editorial board, for instance, is dead against it. And it's obviously not a perfect deal, but it's better than other ones we've seen. And obviously a 100% perfect deal would be 100% private financing, you know. I guess we knew from the start that this would be, you know, these things are never done without a struggle. And here we are, folks. Here's the struggle. Here's where there's going to be discussions, heated discussions, arguments, vetting, and it'll probably take years.
So the rally today, that you're not going to get into the nuts and bolts of the agreement or the plan today.
I would hope not. Jeez, I think this is just a rah-rah. I think this is really just showing how many people, care. Just without even before all the campaign started and stuff. Let's see if we can get 2 or 4, 5 or 10,000 people down there just with a rah-rah thing.
I think you'll have that many panhandlers.
Well, I dropped off my drums around noon, and I can say that it's a thick crowd already.
So that's what I was going to ask you. So in your mind, what would make this rally, an absolute unqualified success?
I think a huge overflow on the sort of 2,000 or so that they are sort of banking on. I think if it ends up being 4,000, that's going to be fantastic. I think, barring a thunderstorm, I think we'll hit that. I don't know if there's any sort of tangible sort of call to action kind of thing that they're looking for other than just a big crowd and some unqualified optimism, I guess.
See, I think this is a great idea. Don't get me wrong, but here's what I would be wondering. I would be wondering if people are going to go down there because the presidents of the United States are going to be doing some sets. You're going to be able to get an up front and close look at Gary Payton and Slick Watts and Detlef Schrempf. I mean, so there's this star aura around what the rally is, and I wonder if people are going to be there because they want to show support for bringing the Sonics back, or this is just a really kind of cool June afternoon diversion?
Well, first off, I'll say that anyone coming down there expecting a set for the presidents will be sorely disappointed. I think we've got like 15 minutes on the schedule, so it's more of a glimpse than a concert experience. But look, you just said it. Doesn't the fact that 15 years after we were in the finals, that Detlef and Sean and Gary, these guys are people will come down just for that. I mean, these guys have resonated with this community to a huge extent. They're like Led Zeppelin.
See, I think it's going to be a little bit of both. Now, is Mayor Mike going to bike his way down there, or?
Clearly. In fact, I can see that the phalanx of security men here on Capitol Hill are clearing the Union Street bike lane just for him. Do they still let him bike around town however he wants?
I think he may from his house he may bike down to 7-Eleven. I don't think he gets much biking done these days. But the reason I ask is you got to get him up there to sing.
Oh gosh,
that alone would be worth the price of whatever admission.
Yeah, I've never heard his singing voice. I'm sure it's lovely.
Well, just listen to his speaking voice, and you're going to have an idea of what it would be like.
For sure. Well, I do know the guy has a garage full of vinyl that he still listens to, and that's a stroke in favor of him rock and roll wise. You know, we've got a song. We wrote a song in the 90s. I think it was actually 96, which we never play anymore, and we actually retired it officially. When the team left, but we're gonna uncover it today. Maybe Mike can come up during that.
See, I think you're gonna have a raucous crowd down there. I think there's a lot of people who are getting themselves psyched up, and right now I think the attention is being drawn back to the Sacramento Kings because they look like the most likely team that we'd be able to grab by the scruff of the neck and drag up here. I'd be interested. I'd love to hear from Mayor Mike as to the conversation he had with David Stern, which I thought was so, it's just, it's Mike McGinn. It's like, hey, David, I'm back here. I got to go see this Department of Justice thing. We got some problems with our police department. But I was back east, and I thought maybe I'd drop in and talk about basketball with you.
Yeah.
Nobody knew he was going to do it.
I'm sure that Mayor Mike was completely unprepared for that sort of global scale arrogance that Stern exudes, but he was probably lucky just to get the meeting.
Well, we can talk about that. If you're lucky when you get to meet David Stern, or if you're lucky if he's not in when you go to see him, I think the opposite is true.
Well, I don't anticipate being unlucky enough to actually meet him in person, but you have to think that him and the And the chairman of the relocation committee, what's his name in Oklahoma City? Clay Bennett. Are prepared to rubber stamp the thing from their end.
Hope so. Anyway, Jason Finn, drummer with the Presidents of the United States, going to be down there at Occidental Park at 4 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6. Right. It should be fun.
You have some fun, and I'm going to bet you get 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people down there.
That's a good number. We'll take it.
All right, go with it, man. Take care.
Thanks, Ken.
Good talking with you. You know, save our Sonics. It's you're going to have Gary Payton. You're going to have Sean Kemp. You're going to have Detlef Schrempf. Head down to Occidental Park. Should be a good afternoon.
What happens next happens on the Como Afternoon News today at 3. Now, Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Well, more than a few people wearing their love for the Supersonics on their sleeve there. One of the people, I got to read you this sign. This is a... I'll describe it to you. It says OKC in a circle with the with the line through it. So the international sign for not allowed. OKC obviously standing for Oklahoma City. And so then it says, this is not a joke. If you're rooting for the Thunder, you will be kicked out. If you ask why this sign exists, you will also be kicked out. So you better sit down, shut up, and just go rah-rah Sonics if you walk into the Roosevelt Barbershop. Because I'm telling you, they're not going to take any guff or grief from anybody walking in there. And I would say if Clay Bennett's ever in town, he better not sit down for a shave. Oh, man. John Song works at the Roosevelt Barbershop, joins me here on Newsline PM. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Doing all right. So whose idea was this sign?
It was actually my idea. I actually put that sign up Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning. Yeah, okay. I put it up Tuesday morning. I kicked the guy out last Thursday, the day after they won the Western Conference Championship.
No, you can't be. Are you really serious?
You know, it's pretty much just a warning to people, you know, like, hey, these are some real diehard Supersonics fans in this shop. And if you're sitting here talking about the OKC Thunder, how they're your team, especially this guy that we kicked out, he was wearing a Seattle Seahawks hat while talking about being a Thunder fan.
So, and you're not embellishing this. You threw him out of the barbershop.
I threw him out of the barbershop. I said, there's the door, get out. And he said, you're not cutting my hair, blah, 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 blah. Are you being serious? And I said, yes, it's that serious.
Was he in the middle of a haircut, or was he waiting?
No, he was waiting for a haircut.
Oh, see, that's where you blew it, John. You should have waited until he was halfway through.
That's a good idea.
You should have got the clip. You should have been a little. By the way, you really rooting for the? Yeah, I am. Then get the hell out of here and send him out the door.
Yeah.
Oh, what did he say when he left? Was he incredulous?
Well, according to his Yelp review, he said he came up to me and looked me in the eyes and said, all right then, as in, like, I'm leaving, which never happened. I don't remember it happening, and I would have remembered, but I did see him walk towards the door and say something to his barber, Nico, and he just left.
Yeah, he's just trying to cover his butt.
Yeah. I mean, if he came up to my face and said, looked me in the eyes and said something, probably would have escalated to something else, you know, like,
man, you are.
We were fired up. Like, I was so fired up at this guy. I had my back turned to him because I didn't even want to look at his face wearing that Seahawks hat, talking this mess, you know.
So what leaves you so? I mean, what is it about? I get that you like the Supersonics, that you love the team, but this is like, you're really passionate, man.
Oh yeah. So it all starts. You know, I was born in 1979. I wish I remembered winning the championship, but I was like 2 months old when they won the championship. But, you know, in the early 80s, I could remember from as far as I could remember my dad being a big Jack Sigma fan, and we used to watch games together. And it led into the whole, like, Tom Chambers, Dale Ellis, Derek McKee, Xavier McDaniel, that era. Then, of course, the GP Sean Kemp era came after that, and that was just the most amazing time of my life, pretty much, you know. And then, you know, 2000s was cool, you know, but we weren't. You know, it wasn't that spectacular, but, you know, we're still all diehard fans. And when the whole 2008 thing came around, I was in denial that we were ever going to leave, even though Clay Bennett owned us. And I knew he was from OKC and, you know, this and that. Like, there's all these rumors, like, oh, he's going to take the team away. But just like when the Seahawks had that scare moving in the mid-90s, just like the Mariners had the little scare, you know, I always believed in my mind that all three of those teams, no matter what happens, you know, they'll never leave. Like, it's impossible. And I'll be honest with you, my mind is still stuck in 2008 right now. Like, I can't get over it. Like, and to see this team, like, I distance myself from this OKC team. The minute they moved to Oklahoma City and they changed the jersey,
they were dead to
the Thunder.
I
put a wall, and I was like, that's not the Sonics.
So let me ask you something. Are you going to go to the big rally today?
I actually am going to the rally. Yes.
Oh man, you you're all buckled up for this.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Hey, look, have you gotten any blowback from the sign in your shop? Has anybody?
Oh, actually, it's pretty funny. I just got a phone call from. It sounded like an older gentleman. I couldn't make out exactly what he said, but he said something along the lines of, "I can't believe you guys kicked someone out for that, you tribalistic F."
You tribalistic?
Yes. And if he wants to call me that, I take that as a compliment because, you know, tribalistic, fanatic, I don't know. Same word to me, you know, like I'm a fanatic, so.
John Song, it's been fun talking with you, man. I wish you a lot of luck. I appreciate the sign that's up there, and you go.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a good one, man.
Thank you.
All right,
thanks for having me.
All right. Now there's a guy. Like I said, that wears his passion for the Sonics on his sleeve.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. There are weird stories that you pick up from different places around the country. But an inordinate number of times, the really, really weird stories seem to come out of Florida. There's a story about this teacher that has been arrested on child abuse charges. She apparently took her students to this pier, or her former students to this pier in St. Petersburg, and told them that they had to cut themselves in order to cast demons that were lurking in their bodies, to cast these demons out. And then she would have the kids cauterize the wounds to prevent the spirits from getting back in the body. So one of the kids, you know, sliced himself with a bottle. One did something on his neck, and then this teacher poured perfume on it and lit it with a cigarette lighter to cauterize it. What kind of – I don't know what it is about Florida. I really don't. But there's something in the atmosphere, the latitude, the longitude. Maybe it's the wind coming off the ocean. But I got to tell you, there's some weird people down in Florida. In a moment, we're going to talk about the Navy doing battle with some folks in Oak Harbor about using too much water.